Welcome to Community Connections. I'm Alan Collier. It's my pleasure to be with you for the next 3 hours. The first hour, we've got a lady here we're going to talk to. And the second hour, we're going to talk about Soap Aid. Tremendous idea. They go around to the motels, collect all the half-used soap, which would normally be go out to hard waste, and they take them down to, I think, Dandenong, and then they boil them up, make fresh soap out of them and send them to third world countries. So we're going to hear all about that. And in the third hour, I've got a bit of a special. If you're listening to a group, if you're listening now and part of a group, the group that was to come in between 2 and 3, unfortunately, has been a death in that group and they won't be coming in. So I've got an hour available. So if you want to, give Greg a quick ring on 59-615-991. 59-615-991. And as long as you've got somebody available, they can either come in or we can do a phone recording, or if not, we'll play some music. So, but if you're part of a group and you'd like to come in and talk to us, give us a ring pretty quick to Greg on 59-615-991. Having got all that out of the way, we've got a young lady or a lady with us that we've never spoken to before, and it's great to have her in. It's an organisation called Southern Cross, a kids' camp. So welcome, Belinda.
Hi, Alan. It's a pleasure to be here today, and young lady, I'll definitely take that.
Well, I don't want to get caught out being sexist, but it's great to have you along. First of all, Belinda, I've got to ask you, what is the Southern Cross Kids Camp and what do they do? I mean, we know about kids' camps, but what actually does the Southern Cross Kids Camps do?
Absolutely. Well, it's something I love talking about, so that'll be easy to answer. But Southern Cross Kids Camps exist to provide camps to kids that have had a really rough start to life.
I don't cut across guests, and I don't want to cut across you. So when you say a rough start to life, I guess, first of all, how do you get these young people, and what are you talking about when you say a rough start?
Yeah, so the children that are that come on our camps are referred to us predominantly through welfare agencies. So a lot of them reside in foster care or out-of-home care, and all of them are being supported by some sort of welfare or child protection agency. So the children that come on our camps are normally between ages 7 and 11 or grades 2 to 6 of primary school. And what I love about our camps is once children are referred into us, they have a standing invitation to attend that camp each year, which means we get to build on the friendships and the progress that they've experienced on camp.
That's terrific. So it's not just a one-off. You come in, you have a bit of fun for 2 or 3 days and it's all over, so that they can keep coming back. And I guess for some of them, that might be the only constant in their life. Am I right?
That's absolutely the case. Sometimes the foster system, with all credit due, the workers do an incredible amount of work, but it can be tumultuous for these children. Often they have moved placements between the years that we see them on camp, and by the time they've done 5 camps with us, we may well be one of the longest standing relationships they've got in their life.
And I guess the other thing is too, they're not coming to you because they've had a stable background, have they? They're already bringing trauma or I'm not sure what the word is, but they're already bringing a troubled background into the situation, aren't they?
Absolutely. Trauma can present in wide and varied ways, but every child that comes on our camp has been let down in some way and had a pretty rough experience.
All right, so is there a limit, or that they can only come to the 5 camps, is that right? So between 7 and 11?
That's right. For most of our camps, they are primary aged camps, so they, as I said, they can come in from grade 2, yep. And they come back each year to grade 6. We do, however, have a pilot program. We thought after building 5 years of rapport and continuity with these kids, we'd love to see that through at another level. So we have been piloting a junior youth camp for the graduates of the primary age camps. So we've got that in the Yarra Valley, the first one, and it's a program that we're aiming to roll out across all our camps in the country over the next few years.
First of all, let me ask you, how many camps a year do you run? And the next thing is, where do you run them?
We run currently 18 camps per year. Sure. We're across 5 states and territories in Australia. So we're Victoria dominant. We started here, and half of the camps are in Victoria, both metro and regional. And then we have a variety of camps across the country as well.
We should mention that because you are based in our area, you're based up in Mount Evelyn, aren't you? That's where it all starts from.
We are, that's right. We have a small but mighty national office of a couple of people, and we're based in Mount Evelyn. That's right.
So what sort of camp? Well, no, not about the camp itself. So how do you get the actual camps? Do you go to? Are they on private property, or are they school camps, church camps, or where do you actually find the campsite itself?
Yeah, great question. So when a camp's looking to start up in a region, we'll have leaders appointed and they'll start to build and train a team from the local community there. And one of the jobs is to source a campsite. So we rent the campsites. We're paying customers. Some of them are really generous toward us, knowing what we do and the work we do. But essentially, the campsite is the largest cost in what we do. So we spend a fair bit of time across the year fundraising to cover the costs of each of those campsites. Because we are all over the place, our camps take place in all different campsites.
Sounds good. All right, I'm going to take a quick break, and we're going to be back with more Belinda. Now, I will, towards 1 o'clock, we will ask for Belinda for a contact for the organisation. Now, two things, I suspect they would, and we'll talk about this as we get into the interviews, I suspect they're always looking for donations to help run these camps, because I guess they can't charge the young people much or anything, and we won't talk about that just now, but we will before we get there. And I guess there may be other ways you could help. So try and have a paper and pencil ready at about 5 to 1, and we'll give you all the contact details.
The sun comes
That was the old Jimmy Barnes, and one thing he knew how to scream out a song, didn't he? Anyway, I'm talking to Belinda, and we're talking about the Southern Cross kids' camps. First of all, Belinda, I always like people to know a little bit about the person I'm interviewing. First of all, what got you involved and what's your background to get involved with the camps?
Thanks, Alan. I got involved about 15 years ago. I was invited by a friend to come and volunteer on a camp and be a buddy to a little person for the week. And not knowing much more than that, I jumped on board and went along and had my first camp, and it was an incredible experience, and I haven't looked back.
So you don't come out of education or something like that. That wasn't your job?
No, not at all. I'm actually a radiation therapist by trade and spent a long time working in oncology. So my initial time with Southern Cross was as a volunteer, and I've only started working for them in the last few years.
Yeah, so obviously you thought it was a quite a good place to get involved with.
Absolutely.
All right, so let's just talk about these camps a bit. How long do they run, and what if a young person turned up, if you're running one this weekend or whenever, what would the normal weekend of or the length of the camp, and what would you be doing at that camp?
Well, they're a pretty action-packed week. So we run Monday to Friday, and as we have camps for primary age children, they all fall into the school holiday season. So we have camp season and off season, I suppose. So the camps all run Monday to Friday, and they're a pretty action-packed week. The idea of our camps is to create a week of happy memories for the kids, and to give them a variety of experiences that they may not have had elsewhere, with the aim of building hope and confidence and resilience. One of the incredible things that we can offer to these young people on our camps is that every camp, every child has a one-to-one adult buddy looking after them.
Oh, do they?
They do.
Gee, that's terrific.
It's person intensive, but it's so worthwhile. With the backgrounds that a lot of these kids come from, there's a variety of ways trauma can outwork, and sometimes some behaviours that attach to that to make it impossible for them to attend some of their normal school camps or regular activities. But by partnering them one-on-one with a well-trained, well-screened, caring adult buddy, we can ensure that every child has a successful week and a fantastic one.
So during that week, like you talked about buddies and that, what sort of activities would a child be normally doing?
We do all sorts of things. So there's an adventure component, depending on the individual campsite, but there'll be flying foxes, rock climbing, outdoor activities. We try to incorporate animals throughout the camp, so there might be petting zoos or reptile rooms, sort of thing. Some of our camps even have a therapy dog come and live on site for the week to sit with the kids and help them transition through some of the harder parts of camp.
So some of these young people might not have had a pet, might they? Or they mightn't have ever been involved in, flying foxes and that.
Absolutely. Yeah, the idea is to help them look up and just broaden their horizons, give them some opportunity to do some things and try some things and use their courage and bravery to have a go at things.
I was going to ask you that. Do you sort of test them a little bit? Like, when I say test them, like push them their limits, without being silly, you do that a bit?
Absolutely. There's a bit of a saying, challenge by choice. So we never force anyone to do anything, but we certainly celebrate when they step outside their comfort zone and try something new. And there's plenty of opportunity for doing that on camp.
And how many normally go on a camp?
They vary a little bit. Usually our metro camps are bigger and our regional camps can be a little bit smaller, but anywhere from 15 to 30 kids on a camp would be normal for us.
And you'd have nearly as many adults there?
We actually outnumber them because we've got an adult per child plus a staff team that are providing the camp program. We would typically have more adults than kids on camp.
So, when you were saying before that you go to all sorts of campsites, when you get to them, are they normally not billeted, but in bunk houses and all that sort of stuff, or do you ever have to take them into tents, or what's their normal setup?
Normally we're in cabins, so bunk cabin accommodation, that sort of thing. Our Darwin camp have actually used tents before. It's a little bit warmer up there than the Yarra Valley.
You wouldn't want to be in a tent last night.
No, the Yarra Rangers camp runs in July, and I was pretty happy to be in a cabin, to be honest.
So you say Darwin, so how many spots do you run these camps? Like, I know you say most states, but in every state or where?
Five states and territories. So we've got a number of camps across Victoria.
Yep.
Then we've got three in New South Wales, two in Queensland, one in the Northern Territory and one in South Australia. Excitingly, we've got some conversations happening that might see us having some more camps in some more places pretty soon as well.
That'd be terrific. So, pardon me, all these camps, some of them are running at the same time, aren't they? Because if you're only on school holidays, so to get your camps in, you could have Darwin and Melbourne and Brisbane running at the same time, couldn't you?
Exactly right, yeah. There's often more than one running in the same week.
Yeah. So what sort of cost is there to the young person?
There's no cost to the young person. So we're a registered charity with tax-deductible status, and we completely fundraise the cost of providing our camps to the children, so there's no cost passed to families, agencies or anyone else.
So there's the opportunity for people that are listening. Maybe you're a grandma and grandpa who no longer have the choice or have the children living at home, so the costs are not as great as what they were, and maybe you've got a few dollars in your pocket and maybe you'd like to help getting some of these young people to camps, because if a lot of them, as we've said, or Belinda said early, will be bringing trauma with them, and it's a great opportunity to get them. Look, I've just got to take another quick break and we'll be back with more. And of course, that was John Farnham. He now calls himself John Farnham. Used to always be Johnny Farnham and Queen. And I see that he's not looking too bad, actually, the old John Farnham. But hopefully, I'm not sure we'll see him back on stage. I've read where he's would love to get back on stage, but we'll just see what happens. But we're here to talk to Belinda about the Southern Cross Kids Camp. Belinda, apart from taking away some great memories from these camps, what do the kids get to take away with themselves at the end of the camp?
Yeah, thanks, Alan. One of the wonderful things about camp is that we have a camp photographer on every camp.
Oh, do you?
We do.
Yep.
We do. It's the only person allowed to take photos on camp. Yeah. And they have a really busy week buzzing around camp and collecting all the highlights of camp for each child.
Yep.
And they compile that into a what we call a memory album. And at the end of the week, every child is given their own personalised 20-page photo album.
20 page?
Of them on camp.
Gee, that'd be terrific. So they can look back in 20 years' time and hopefully show their own kids photos of what they did.
Absolutely. And, you know, we're 23 years old now as an organisation. We've got more and more people starting to get in contact that were previous campers that have now come back and made contact with us.
Terrific.
And so many of them start by saying, I've still got my memory albums.
Do they?
And yeah. Not only are they some of their most treasured possessions often they're also the only photos they might have of their childhood. So it's a real privilege to be able to give them those books.
Yeah, I suppose so. Because, see, when we talk talk ourselves, you often sort of think of your own upbringings, and you don't realise that some of these young people. Well, I know we were doing an interview with someone, I can't remember which group, one of the age groups a little while ago, and they were telling me, well, see, sometimes these children are taken out of their homes at 1 and 2 in the morning by the police, aren't they? There's an incident there. And they've taken out, and very often the police won't go through the house to try and get stuff because they don't know what's booby-trapped and what's not. And they just go in and they'll grab the child, a bit of clothes. I get a bit emotional. Mm. And out the door. So some of these young people have got nothing. So everything, they've got to restart again.
That's absolutely right. Yeah. We've seen children living out of garbage bags of things that have, you know, bounced from household to household. Yeah. or not picked up their suitcase because they haven't recognised it as theirs because a social worker's just picked some things up on the way to dropping them to camp for the week. So it's really hard, some of the circumstances these kids find themselves in, and yet we get to be in the midst of it and with them and doing something.
And the thing that we've got to, we should emphasise, and I should do this a bit more often, that when we talk about these young children, they're not privileged children. They're not children who've had an easy life already. They are children who are very often traumatised. They've had rotten home lives. And the point we've got to make is that none of this is their doing. It's what's happened around them, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. You know, some of these kids come from really tough circumstances. And in saying that, we recognise that we're just one small cog in a system that's there to support them. So the fact that they're on camp actually means that their story is known, that people are helping them, that support has been implemented, and, you know, there are people helping that family or that child, but it doesn't make it any easier for them.
No. All right, so let's get on to a bit of a brighter note. I sort of took that down a bit of a hole. I didn't want to go. Now, all this takes, apart from money, and we're going to ask for people soon to give it some thought to donating some money to, but the thing that we, these things don't run by themselves. So how many volunteers a year do you think you need?
We have about 700 active volunteers
700.
Per year.
And is that enough?
Never. That allows us to run our 18 camps and have about 450 kids come through our camping program every year. But as you said, between money and volunteers, they're the two biggest hold-ups to doing more and more, reaching more regions. So we're always looking for great people.
So are we saying that roughly in the time you've been running, you've done something like 20,000 young children through the over the period of the time?
That's probably right. I'd have to do the maths, but yeah, we've been running for 23 years and around 450 kids, give or take, each year come
so every
through.
10 years you've got 450, so every 10 years you've got 4,500. So you're talking, you know, around 10,000 young people that have been through the camps.
That's right.
And I guess, as I say, you when you're looking... I lost my track for a minute. When you're looking for volunteers, are you looking for people with special skills who can cook or things like that, or are you just looking for a mum or a dad or you know, a young person that can come along the camp and just blend in with the young people, or are you looking for them all?
I think strength is in diversity, to be honest. We have a full range of ages and skill sets and professions of people that volunteer with us. The key is that they're people that are willing and able to come and commit to giving every child the very best week of their year on camp. We do all the training, so as part of the process of recruiting our volunteers, we have a really stringent screening process
for
child
to.
Safety, as we as we should and do.
And you no doubt have to have a work with children.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. But in terms of knowing what to do and that trauma-informed practice, the training is provided by the camps and by the directors of the camps.
So now we're coming down another little tram, another little track. What's, like, how much, like, if a person was to volunteer, so, like, how many hours of training do they need? Or do you just train the camp, or do you train those up before you get to the camps?
We train in the lead up to a camp. So we're typically recruiting the team for camp, say, from between 6 to 3 months out from the camp.
So if you're recruiting now, are you talking about the September holidays, or is that too... to school holidays, or is, would that be too late? You're really recruiting for Christmas?
Probably both. The September camps would be well and truly forming underway. It's probably not too late to jump on board. But the sooner we have the team locked in, we know how many children's places we can offer, and then we'll get about with the training of all of our volunteers each time.
That's a probably good point to ask you too. Is the number of young people that can come to the camp limited by the amount of volunteers you can get?
Yes, it is.
So it's basically one-on-one. Yeah. Well, no, it would be more than one-on-one, wouldn't it? Because you want one-on-one as mentors, but then you still want other people to run stuff as well too, don't you?
Exactly right. So each child has their own buddy, and that person's full-time job for the week is just to give that child the very best week of their year. So they're with them all the time. They go to all the activities with them. They do everything together throughout the camp. And in addition to that, there's an incredible backbone of camp that's the staff, and they run all the activities and program and keep all the wheels turning throughout the week. And part of our staff team are some really special roles. We have a coach that takes care of all the outdoor ed and activities, game time, that sort of thing. We have camp grandparents. A lot of the kids that come on camp may not have experienced grandparents.
That's true.
And so the grandparents' role is just to get around camp, be everybody's friends. You know, they might they go on all the excursions and activities and just cheer the kids on. Plenty of stickers get handed out by the grandparents.
Do they?
Yeah.
That's a terrific idea. All right, we've got to take a quick break and we'll be back with more.
Yarra Valley FM acknowledges the traditional owners, the Wurundjeri people, as the custodians of this land we broadcast from. We pay respects to elders past, present, and emerging.
A whole lot. I don't go out. something's wrong. I feel uneasy. Reassure me.
Talking to Belinda, and she's from the Southern Cross Kids Camp. Belinda, one of the things, just briefly, and I'm always conscious not to identify people themselves, but and you've been going for, I think you said, 23 years. So have you got some real success stories out of the kids that have gone through these camps?
Absolutely, Alan. You know, and our measure of success is that every kid has a great week on camp, and if nothing more comes of it, then we feel like we've done our part there. But as you say, we've existed for 23 years, and that means that we have kids that have been part of our programs and turned 18 and been able to get back in contact with us. And we've actually had quite a number of people get back in contact, and the two most common things they say to us when they do that is either, camp changed the course of my life for the better, or terrific, camp saved my life.
Terrific.
And so many of them come back with a want to pay it forward to the next generation.
So they come back as volunteers?
They come back as volunteers. So we have a number of volunteers, both underage junior leaders and fully fledged over 18 buddies on our camps that have previously been campers on our teams. And we even have our first director, so someone leading a team in New South Wales.
Fandingham
has been on our camps.
Gee, that's terrific. Now, the other thing, I'd see on your motive, you've got a starfish. Why did you pick the starfish?
Well, the starfish is really dear to our hearts, Alan. There's a story credited to a few different authors along the way, but it goes along the lines that after a big stormy night, there was a man out running on the beach. The waves had been high, and the tide had washed in thousands of starfish littering the beach. And as he looked down the beach, you know, there were more than you could count, and he could see this little boy bending over, picking them up one at a time and throwing them back into the water. And as he jogged along the beach, he approached the little boy. He couldn't help himself. He went over and he said, "Hey, look, kid, you know what you're doing won't make a difference, right? The problem's too big. There's too many starfish. The tide's going out. The sun's coming up. You can't make a difference here." And the little boy slowly bent down, picked up another starfish, and he looked up at the man and he said, "Well, sir, I think it's going to make a difference to this one."
It's a good story.
Feel good story. That's right. So we know the problem in Australia is really big. Yep. We know there's a lot of kids that would benefit from being on camp, and we know we don't fix every problem, but for the kids we get to serve, for the kids that get to come on camp, we know that it makes a real difference in their lives. So we will stop for the starfish, and everyone is important.
Sounds good to me. All right, we'll take a quick break. Now, when we come back, Belinda's going to give you the contact details. Now, there's a variety of ways that Belinda would like you to get involved. First of all, if you've got some money, I'm sure she'd love to take your money. Or if not, maybe you're... Well, she said they have grandparents on. Maybe a grandparent. Maybe you're a parent who'd like to go along and volunteer. Or maybe you're a uni student who's going to have some time off. Why don't you grab the details? I'm sure they'll use you any way they can. So as soon as we finish this, we'll get you those details. And, of course, that's a great Johnny O'Keefe and To Love Somebody. One of the reasons I put that in, shamelessly, I'll be here on Sunday between 12 and 3 with Music, Memories and More. We'll be playing Johnny O'Keefe and a whole lot of those songs and a lot of other bits and pieces and the 1 o'clock funnies and that. And then again at between 6 and 8 I'll be doing the Rock and Roll Hit Parade. So be listening here on Sunday. Well, listen here 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Well, maybe you need to have a sleep, but the rest of the time... tune into Yarra Valley. Anyway, enough of that. We're talking to Belinda. We've been telling you all about this Southern Cross Kids Camp. She's told you plenty of ways that you should get involved financially, or whether you want to, you're a grandparent who'd like to get involved as one of their grandparents, or whatever you'd like. So, Belinda's going to tell you now how you can, how to take the first step.
Thanks, Alan. Well, our website is really a one-stop shop for all the different ways to get involved with us. On our website, you'll be able to find all our current fundraisers, including things like our Cycle for Change, which is a four-day bike ride that we
do. When's that? We should have touched that.
An hour goes quick, doesn't it? Yeah. We are running. We run an annual bike ride in May, where we have about 40 riders come along, and they all fundraise their position on that bike ride, and the funds go to putting kids on camps. There's options for businesses to be corporate sponsors there as well.
And where do they normally run that?
This year we were in the Gold Coast, and next year we'll be over in the beautiful Adelaide Hills.
Oh, so you only run one, like you don't hold them in every state?
Yeah, no, we just run one as an annual event. They're a fair undertaking. We have a variety of golf days. There's often local camps running sausage sizzles and things. So you'll find all the information on our website, as well as the way to give a donation. So
Which is?
Our website is www.sckc.org.au. I'll give it again. Yeah. It's www.sckc.org.au. You can also find us on Facebook, or you can give us a call on 9762 7636.
What was the number again, please?
9762 7636.
Right, and the same thing, I guess, that's 9762 7636.
That's right.
I wasn't sure. Well, I couldn't even read my own writing. So we give people the opportunity. So that'll tell them more about the opportunities of volunteering as well?
Absolutely. So the website's got information about volunteering. It's also got information about referring children and how to put in inquiries. There's forms for making contact with us, and there's also a donation portal there as well.
When you say how to refer children to you, do you take them from private people, or is it you'd prefer it to come through the agencies?
We're more than happy for foster families to make contact with us directly. Normally there will be a social worker or someone involved that might assist with the referral. Yep. But if children are eligible, all the information's on the website. We're happy to hear from people.
I guess the point I'm trying to make there is you're not like Fred, Joe Blow can't just ring up and think his child would be great on camp, because the camp isn't for children out of a stable home, is it? It's for children who have been taken out of their homes.
It's for children that have been subject to abuse or neglect. So there's a whole bunch of information and frequently asked questions on the website. If anyone was unsure, they should be able to find what they need. And if they can't, they can drop us an email from there, or they can call us anytime.
On 9762 7636.
That's right.
And the website again, please?
www.sckc.org.au.
And Facebook, I guess you can just tap in the top. Is that SCKC or is it under
Southern Cross Kids Camp?
Camp South.
Yep, you'll be able to find us there.
In the search button up the top and have a look. Belinda, look, I think it's a great job you do. It's, in some ways, I'm disappointed you need to do it, because I'd like to think that every child came out of a stable home, but that's just being unrealistic, unfortunately. Just the way life is. So it's great that you're giving these young people the opportunity, because, as you say, sometimes it's probably the best experience they've had in their life.
Yeah, look, we would love to see ourselves done out of a job one day.
Yep.
But in the absence of that being the reality, we just focus on doing what we do as well as we can, and making sure that every kid that comes to our camps has the very best week of their year.
With these camps that you hire, a lot of them would have their own equipment, wouldn't they? Like, you don't normally just go to a blank area, do you? And, you know, like a lot of them have their flying foxes and different things like that.
Yeah, it's all built in and part of the campsites generally. So big giant swings, flying foxes, high ropes course, those sorts of things are usually part of it.
Just keen to ask, which we haven't covered at all, you said apart from, you know, there's one in the Yarra Valley and different places, when you talk about regional, what sort of areas you're talking in when you start talking regional? Let's talk Victoria, because that's where our listeners are.
Yeah, sure. So we've got a Mildura camp.
Yep.
We've got a Goulburn Valley camp. We've got a High Country camp.
Where's the Goulburn Valley, up around Shepparton?
Yeah, sort of that Shepparton, Kyabram catchment region for us.
Yep.
Ballarat and Bendigo, two of our long-standing camps as well.
Gee, Ballarat can get cold.
Yeah, it is freezing cold. It doesn't stop us having a great time, though.
I've been up there for work, and I've been up there when it's about 2 degrees at about 9 o'clock. It's poor old Ballarat. It comes in for a lot of... Belinda, look, it's great I've had you along. We'll get you back. You said that you'll have one in September, but you'll have another one in January. So I think maybe early next year we'd love to get you back and find out a little bit about probably about what went on that camp. Today we've been talking about pretty general what happens, but maybe you could bring us up to date on some of the things that happened in that particular camp.
I'd love that. It's been a real honour to be here today, and I'd happily come back and chat to you more about camp.
All right, so let's get this again. 9762 7636, 9762 7636, or the three Wobblies, SCKC.org.au. Look, don't decide that you can't help them. Let them decide that you're no good to them. Just volunteer, and I'm sure they'll find some way that they can use you.
Thanks, Alan. That's exactly right.
Thanks very much, Belinda.